Good morning. As you may have gathered from the sermon title this morning, there's a little bit of irony in our discussion. As we look at the call for us as followers of Jesus to continue to meet together, to gather in community. Now, obviously, COVID-19 has altered gathering plans for communities, faith communities, all over the world. But as I thought about that, I have to admit that I'm still very grateful. Maybe you feel a sense of gratefulness too. I'm grateful for folks like Conrad and our tech volunteers, those of you who have contributed by worship leading, our song leaders, children's story creators, everything in between. I'm grateful for each of you at home who have chosen each week to tune in. You've set aside time to gather through this digital space. Whether you've participated by sharing in the comments section, maybe you've written notes to one another, those of you who have sent in videos, what a great way to join in and be a part of the community. Even something as small as a phone call to one another has significant impact. In general, I'm grateful for technology. The fact that I can now preach a sermon to you right live in this way, and you can enjoy and participate. And I think that with this technology, we've had this incredible ability to be able to gather as a community still, even with the fact that we have not been able to meet in person. So even though that we can't see one another in person, even though we're not able to really share a meal like we're doing monthly, or even just join our voices in song, I think there's value for all of us in coming together in one spirit, coming together in one spirit even from a distance. So while it may not be ideal, while this time has not been ideal, I'm proud of the creative ways that we have figured out how to gather together, the creative ways we figured out how to be the church and connect in community in spite of the difficult circumstances that we found ourselves in. You know, this week I had the opportunity to meet digitally with a group of Ohio Conference pastors. In fact, we've been meeting together every single month for the last 3 years. And it was sort of bittersweet for me this week because this was my last meeting with this group of pastors. Pastors who have become close friends. Pastors who we've laughed and cried with and shared each other's stories and journeys with. You know, as pastors, this community that we formed through what we call Pastor Peer, has been a lifeline for us. I think for most of us gathering at this pastor's gathering, we've found it as essential as, you know, eating or sleeping. It's played a significant role in our lives and journeys. And I would say that the best way to describe it is that in many ways, this pastor group has become our church away from churches. For this last meeting, much of our conversation centered around how our churches were doing in terms of community related to COVID-19. Many of the churches have reopened, and so we talked about how that process has gone reopening, how people have done in terms of adapting to social distance guidelines and wearing masks and all of that. And then we talked about, you know, what would we have done differently? What could each of us do differently depending on our context? Yet at the heart of our conversation about reopening and how we're acting as a community, the conversation was, I think, much more deeper than that. the value of the conversation was our discussion around practicing community. What does it look like for the church to practice community, especially during times of challenge, during times like this pandemic? And in our discussion, we landed on the understanding that while the church may have to adapt its methods, and I'm not just talking about right now, but even into the future, or adapt the ways that we practice community due to things like pandemics or shifts in our culture or other circumstances, the church is not really the church without the gathering of the saints. It's so essential that to be the church is to practice community with one another. It's at the core of our identity. Some may not agree with this statement, but I would say that from a biblical perspective, you cannot consider yourself a part of the whole if you never practice community with the whole. Now, I realize that there are exigent circumstances where someone cannot meet in person, so I just want you to know that I'm not limiting the term practicing community to just meeting in person. Because there's a lot of ways now, as I mentioned this first thing, to practice community without meeting in person. You know, we, in our essence, in the way God designed us, were made to know one another. We're made to struggle together, to grow together. We're made to occupy the same space, to share the same air. We're made to communicate. We were made to find Jesus in one another. You know, I've heard Christians say over my years of being a pastor that my faith is just between me and God. I can follow Christ on my own. I have an individual faith. And I just think that this way of thinking is short-sighted. If you look at Scripture, our faith is not at all individual. Certainly there's elements of it that are personal and connected to God, but our faith is best lived in community. Scripture speaks to the fact that Christ is best found in the context of community, that an individual is only one piece of Christ. In Paul's letters, he describes the church as one entity, one body made up of many parts. He explains that if one part is missing, just one part, then the body cannot fully function the way that it was designed to function. I wonder, have you ever stopped to consider how important you are to the body of Christ? I know that it doesn't seem at all modest to think this way, but I want to invite you this morning to consider that, how important you are to the body of Christ. See, God actually made each of us with a purpose. You and I were made to contribute to the communal body of Christ. And without us, the body doesn't function quite like it should. What I'm saying, essentially, is that you're pretty stinking important. It's true. At the heart of our faith is a people. It's a people practicing community. It's a people acting as one with the explicit purpose to represent Christ to the world. Not one of us as an individual can fully encapsulate Christ and all that Christ is. But all of us together is Christ amplified. It's Christ shown to the world. And this is why it's so important for followers of Jesus to live life together, to practice community, to carry one another through the struggles of life. This morning in hearing the letter to the church in Jerusalem, we learn that the author of Hebrews is imploring the church to not give up meeting together. The author is writing to the church in Jerusalem during this time of intense persecution. Apparently, some groups during this time had given up meeting together. And from what I can only assume would have been the fact that they were afraid. They didn't want to get persecuted. So the writer is concerned that other groups will follow in the footsteps of some of the groups that had quit meeting. Now, I want you to keep in mind, as the author is writing this, that literally the only form of communication and community was meeting in person. I mean, they didn't have the internet. They didn't have the things that modern people have. And so if people weren't meeting together in person, then people weren't experiencing community. So the author, knowing the importance of meeting, writes to them, encouraging them to continue to gather, encouraging them, and I love the word that is used here, but encouraging them to hold unswervingly to the hope that they profess, to consider how they may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, to keep meeting and encouraging one another. I worked with a pastor friend about 15 years ago, and he was telling me a story about a time when he was in college. One day he was kind of bored, so he decided to go out for a drive in the mountains of California. He said in the middle of his drive, he got super hungry and he saw this great roadside vendor, so he pulled over and bought a burrito. And he took this burrito and hopped in his car and set out again on his journey. Just as he was starting the descent down this really steep mountainside, he took a bite of this burrito, and it turned out that it was lava hot, and he didn't know what to do, so he spit it into his hand. But when he did that, he let go of the steering wheel, and then he dropped the burrito on the floor. And so, panicked that his burrito was going to go bad on the floor, he let go of the steering wheel altogether and reached down to grab it. Just as he did that, his car started swerving, and he hit a guardrail on the edge of the mountain. And the guardrail forced his truck back onto the road. He hit the brakes to stop and evaluate what had happened. And he realized in that moment that that guardrail had saved his life. It kept him from flying off the cliff. And so as I read the words of the author in Hebrews, saying, hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, I couldn't help but recall my friend's story about the burrito and the guardrail. See, a primary reason we gather as a church is to act as guardrails for each other, keeping one another from swerving away from hope, keeping one another from flying off the cliffs of despair. And let's not get confused. Cliffs of Despair is not a reference to the Pit of Despair, which is Monty Python and the Holy Grail. The reality is that we are carriers. We are carriers and protectors of hope for one another. That's part of the role of the church, to be carriers and protectors of hope. But that's not all we do. We also gather to, as the Hebrew writer says, spur one another on toward love and good deeds. You know, three great expressions of Christ in the world are hope, love, and acts of service, or you could say good deeds. These are essential communal practices for followers of Jesus. These are essential communal practices for the church. As you may recall, it was about a year ago, Kelly and I moved out of our tiny house and we bought the house where we are in Dover. And that move was the kind of move that really required a whole community of folks to accomplish what we needed to accomplish in very little time. And sure enough, a whole community came out to help us with that move. Many of you came armed with tools and trailers and food and that good old Mennonite work ethic. I mean, it was a hot day in the 90s. People were sweating like crazy. And I just have to say that this, to me, was a real church gathering. During those hours of co-labor, love, support, hope, and good deeds abounded. It was palpable. Jesus was there. Community was happening. It was worship. It was church. You know, often churches reference this scripture in Hebrews as a means to encourage and dare I say, guilt people into regular attendance at Sunday services. But the call to gather regularly, to practice community, is not a call to attend Sunday services, even if Sunday services have become our modus operandi. The call to practice community is much bigger than what we do on Sundays. Sundays are like a taste, okay? They're helpful. They're a baseline. But they're not the whipped cream, okay? They're not the cherry on top. And I don't know about you, but I am all about the toppings. I want to experience what is beyond a standard Sunday. Pun intended. Also, I kind of think I want some ice cream now. Oh, that sounds pretty good. You know, I just got this picture of all of you rolling up to Dairy Queen after the service and just ordering a sundae and saying, yes, I want extra toppings because my pastor says so. It's the Christian thing to do, you know. Okay, that's, before I go too long on this Sunday metaphor, I should keep moving. So I think what it comes down to is that there's really three challenges for us in this letter. Three challenges for the church. Three things for us to consider as we practice community. The first is simply never give up practicing community. It's essential. Whether the church faces persecution or COVID or culture completely shifts around us, we belong together. We belong together. And the reality is that Christ is best found through us when we're together in a community. So don't ever stop practicing community with one another. The second is similar, but I think it's more specific. Don't just settle for regular Sundays. Be a community of hope, love, and good deeds whenever and however you can. The life of the church extends beyond Sundays. It is so much more than Sunday morning gatherings. You know, sometimes the best form of church is working together to help a friend move. Sometimes the most essential practice for our communal faith is gathering together with a brother or sister who is in need of hope and support from a community of Jesus followers. There are all kinds of ways that we can practice community, that we can continue to meet together. And finally, and I think this one is essential. I think it's essential because it's a building block for practicing community. The reality is that you're an indispensable part of the body of Christ. You matter to the body of Christ. You're needed for the body of Christ. You offer an essential contribution that only you were made to give. So value your contribution because God does. Because God made you to be a part of something bigger. God made you to use your gifts to practice community, to build his kingdom. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that in reality we don't have to do this on our own, that our faith isn't just some individual endeavor. Lord, I thank you that I don't have to carry the burden of being the only follower of Christ in the world, that I have brothers and sisters who I can walk with and do life with and practice community with. Lord, we get so accustomed to just Sunday morning gatherings. Help us to seek out the whipped cream and the cherry. Help us to pursue the kind of community you made us to have. The kind of community where we work together to better the lives of people in the world, where we work together to show your love. Help us to understand our value to the community, our value to the body, that you gave us a gift. You gave us abilities, things that contribute to the life of your body here on earth. Give us the courage to do the difficult task of being less busy and investing into one another's lives and building community. We thank you that you're a communal God. Even you are a part of three: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity. Thank you for building us and making us for community. Help us to continue to practice that. Always, we pray. Amen.